Good
morning, everyone. My name is Ernst, as you know. Pastor Connell will be back next week. And let's remain in the attitude of worship towards God. Before I continue, let us pray first. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the amazing work that you do, my Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are faithful to your word, my Lord. That we thank you that you are faithful to who you are, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that, my Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you just help us today, that you illuminate our minds, my Lord. That you illuminate the word to us, that you reveal the word to us today, my Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We trust you for that, my Lord. And we thank you for your truth that set us free. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. All right. So today I want to continue with a message as we did just before, that where we declared God's truth, where we ask God that His reality, that His supernatural reality invades our reality, our natural here. That things change in the natural as they are in the spiritual. And today I just want to continue on what we've been doing just now. And you would often have seen in your life when most of us have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. We know Him by virtue of our relationship with Him. We talk to Him, we pray, we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and every day we see the testimonies that we build up through our lives of God's faithfulness every day. And that is how we know that God exists. That is, nothing is stronger than our own testimonies that we tell every day. And often when we speak to unbelievers, or when we go out on evangelism, we speak to people about God, and often they want to know, what do you really believe, and how do you know that the Bible is in fact the truth, and why do you believe what you believe? And often we don't want to get into arguments with them. We don't, and that is, it's not the point to argue with people, but we must be able to give them an answer. And even if the when you talk to those person, the conversation may never go into that direction, you must still for yourself know why you believe what you believe, and why do you know that the Bible is the truth. So today I just want to look at a few aspects, just to bring in that element, together with our relationship with God, together with serving God with our spirits, with our hearts, just to bring in that aspect, we also in our minds, that our minds are also satisfied with what we are, the way we are conducting our relationship with God, that it is based on the truth and the things that we believe, that they are in fact so. Let us read 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. This is the scripture that we use, that you must know what you believe and why you believe that. It cannot just be an empty theory, and that you must be able to share this truth in love with other people. Not to argue with them, but to be able to share that in love. And God has created us to be a spirit being. We are a spirit. We have a body, we live inside a body, and we have a soul. The soul is your mental and your emotional faculties. And He has not created us to ignore our minds. Our minds are an important aspect of our whole being. And that is why we should not neglect our minds, also understanding why we believe what we believe. If we read Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the word soul used here in the Greek is the word psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E, and that refers to spirit. So it says to serve and to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your spirit, and your mind. All right, so you can see that the mind is an important part of this, of your relationship with God as well. So what's something that is often, that we are often oblivious to, are all the different worldviews around us. And why different worldviews are important to understand is the fact that the worldview that you have, the worldview that you subscribe to, determines the way you analyze facts. If you look at a certain fact, the worldview that you've got in your mind, the presuppositions that you have, determines the assumptions you make with regards to facts, as well as the conclusions that you draw from those facts. I don't want to go into any detail of all the different worldviews: secular humanism, Marxism, Leninism, cosmic humanism, biblical Christianity we will focus on today. But just something to take note of: a worldview consists out of many different aspects. All of that is not important to know, but it is important just to be aware that it is there. Different worldviews think differently. But the worldview is made up of many different things, like what is the theology of the worldview, what is the philosophy, the ethics, biology, psychology, sociology, law, politics, economics, and history that worldview subscribes to. And something that is preached everywhere today, often without us really realizing that, and that is something that is very subtle sometimes, is the preaching of secular humanism that you find in schools, the school curriculum, you find it in universities, where they preach moral relativism, where they preach evolution as if it being the truth. And everyone accepts it because it is proclaimed by the media, it is proclaimed by professors, by universities. And therefore people assume it to be the truth. The word university actually means uni, which is one, and versity, which is truth, that speaks of one truth. And that was the origin of universities being theological institutes that proclaimed one truth, where today universities proclaim evolution and moral relativism. So it's an interesting change, or it's an interesting way that secular humanism has infiltrated our society. And even us as Christians can also unknowingly proclaim secular humanism by means of us not understanding or not knowing the truth, the biblical truth concerning some subjects. And we say, yeah, I believe in theistic evolution. It fits in with the Bible and it fits in with science. So often we go wrong. Let's look at science versus belief. Do you think that science and religion are two things that oppose one another necessarily? Do you think you can only believe in science, or you can only believe in what your religion says? Or do you think the two can be, there's a connection between the two? Many people think that if you are a scientist, you cannot believe in God because you find too many disparities between the two. But let's have a look at that. What is science? Science is only our human attempt to explain the world around us, to explain what is happening around us. And we do that by means of the observation of evidence or observation of facts that we see. And we try to formulate theories around those facts to say if we can set up an experiment to prove that this and this is so. We set up that experiment so that we can have a measure of repeatability, and we know what is the factors that influence that experiment. And then we think we understand the concept. And then often we find a special case where the theory doesn't apply. And then we see, okay, we don't really understand everything. There are other factors that come into play. And as science progresses, more and more people realize how little they really know. And scientists, especially with regards to the universe and the origins of the universe, start to realize how little they really understand the things that they thought they understand. Science has definite limitations because we see the effects of the past, and therefore we have to make assumptions about the way we interpret those facts today. And depending on your worldview, you will interpret those facts differently. You will make different assumptions and different conclusions. If you look at the example that I used in the Afrikaans service as well, of a clay pot. If you walk in a forest not often visited by anyone, you find a broken clay pot, then you have to immediately ask yourself some questions or make certain assumptions. If you see a clay pot, it's been beautifully crafted, it's maybe got a pattern on, then you have to assume, okay, it's a good design. And therefore you assume there must be an intelligent designer behind this, the creation of this pot. Someone must have made it. If it has been broken, you assume there must have been some activity here that caused this pot to break. And that is the reasonable assumption to make. If your worldview is much different and you try to apply evolution everywhere, you could maybe say that maybe this pot was created by means of by chance there might have been layers of clay deposits that could have formed this pot. But you can see that that is a very far-fetched assumption to make. So what I'm trying to say is that faith and belief is something that even scientists, if you are a professional scientist, you have to believe in something, the laws of nature that are there, the theories that are there. If you do not believe in them, you cannot formulate any other theories to build on those. So belief and faith is not something excluded from the scientific world. It has just got to do with what are your assumptions and what are the glasses that you use to view those facts. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So it means that by faith we understand that God created the world, and it is by the word of God. So it was by the spoken word of God that the world was created. As you see in Genesis 1, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Everything that God spoke, he spoke it into being. From his supernatural reality, it became reality in the natural just by means of God's word. If we just quickly continue on science, if you look at the interpretation of facts, if you realize that science is, in terms of what we can explain in the natural, is only a small part of the bigger reality out there. If you look at all the natural phenomena that is there, a small part of that we can explain. Then there's a much bigger part that we cannot explain, but it is still in the natural. And outside of that, there is the supernatural that mostly we cannot explain. It is in God's domain. He makes the laws in the supernatural. And the natural laws just abide by the supernatural governing laws that are already there. As I said earlier, the same facts can be interpreted very differently depending on your worldview. If you look at evolution versus creationism, where evolutionists believe that from microorganisms, by chance, by probability, information was added to create more complex structures, greater beings, until the human being evolved from that. When creationism, we believe that God created the heaven and the earth just as he said he did, a six-day creation week. And then you also get the theistic evolution where people try to bend the Bible slightly or interpret the Bible differently so that it will fit the evolutionary theory. And the problem with that is that you are not using the Bible as the foundation. You are using science as a foundation and trying to bend the Bible to fit your scientific reasoning. While in fact, if you really study creationism, you will see that when you use the Bible as foundation, you will see that the same facts that the evolutionist interprets, the creationist also interprets that same fact, and you get to a totally different conclusion, which is that God created the heavens and the earth. And to be able to believe in the improbabilities that evolution holds for us requires a bigger faith than to believe in what God said that he did. He created the heaven and earth. So you actually need more faith to believe in evolution than in creationism, I believe. And also important is the case for design. If you look at the way the universe is ordered, if you look at the earth, the perfect position of the earth in the universe, if you look at the human body, of each organ, how each organ was created. If you look at DNA strands, in the complex information systems contained within DNA, then we get back to the same argument, saying that if there's intelligent design, it implies an intelligent creator. You cannot by chance add more bits of information, and by chance it will be in an orderly fashion, and by chance it will add value. It will just continue to be more chaotic and more destructive. So therefore, that is one of the reasons, or one of the arguments against evolution. Let's get back to the word. Let's look at the word and the truth in person. What does the word and the truth really mean? We go to John 1, verse 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without was not anything made that was made. And then verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this equates the Word to Jesus Christ. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So in the beginning, even before the start of time, as we sang, Jesus was already there, was part of the triune being, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Many religions say that Jesus only started to exist when He was born on earth, which is not really the truth. We don't believe in that same Jesus. Jesus pre-existed eternally with God. And when He lived on earth, he was under self-imposed limitations to be able to live as a human. So He was fully God and He was fully human at the same time. Therefore, He could die on the cross for our sins, because He was perfect. He was fully God and He was fully man to represent us on the cross. Something else that is important to realize is, what is the relationship between truth and fact? Often we say, tell someone, look at the facts. But there's something better or higher than facts, and that is truth. And truth is God's word. Truth is the supernatural truth in God's realm. And truth always supersedes fact. Fact always has to comply with whatever truth says, because the natural has to comply to the supernatural laws. So if I use the example of Pastor Sears, if you wear a blue shirt this morning, and Jesus comes in the room and He says you are wearing a white shirt, then because His word is the truth, then the natural has to abide to that, so your shirt will change to white. It has to happen because it has to conform to the truth. Let's quickly look at the Bible. Why do we know that we can rely on the truth? Why, that is, as it is written in the Bible? And that study of the Bible, of the scriptures, we call hermeneutics. And that is the interpretation of the Bible. So what do we believe with regards to Scripture? We believe that the Old and the New Testament in the original writing is fully inspired of God. And it is the superior and final authority for faith and for life. And we believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and that it is absolutely inerrant in any of its statements, being geographical, moral, historic, or scientific. Let's read 2 Timothy 3, from verse 16 to 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You can see Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Word is the truth. It is inspired by God, and it is there for equipping us to be able to do His works on earth. Now, if you go deeper in hermeneutics, I don't want to go into the detail, but there are some interesting scientific results that I just want to highlight quickly. The interesting fact is that when archaeologists analyze certain findings from the field, every time they make a finding, they see, wow, look at this finding. This thing supports this and this. So, we say this thing must be true. And they highly regard that evidence. But when they look at the Bible, they tend to first say the Bible is not, we don't know if the Bible is right. Let us first, we assume the Bible is wrong until it is proven right. And there you can immediately see the effect of the person's worldview with regards to the interpretation of facts, where the Bible is assumed wrong until proven right, whereas other evidence is often assumed to be correct until proven else, or until proven wrong. Now, there's many extra biblical sources, or sources outside of the Bible, from the same time as the Bible was written, that confirm the biblical events. There are many archaeological findings that also confirm biblical events. Just a few examples are the findings, the archaeological findings of Sodom and Gomorrah, the destruction of Jericho, biblical structures like the base of the Tower of Babel that's been found, the Pool of Gibeon, the Pool of Bethesda, Jacob's Well, and so on. Another important aspect is the unity of thought throughout Scripture. Now, if you consider Scripture was written over a period of 1,600 years by 40 different men from all walks of life, 66 books, all making a harmonious book that is absent of any contradiction. Think about it, if 40 men had to tell the same story, what is the chance you will get the same, really the same story, if you think of a fishing or hunting trip? So what is the conclusion you can make from that? Over that vast period of time, one harmonious book, the only conclusion that you can make is that God is the author, that God inspired the word to be able to form the Bible as one book. Another interesting aspect is the numerical aspects contained in the Bible. You can look for the DVD, The Bible Code, that goes into lots of detail of all the numeric phenomena contained inside the Bible. Just one example is Matthew 1, verse 1 to 7, where you find that the number of words are divisible by 7, if you consider the original manuscript. The number of words that starts with the vowel is divisible by 7. So is the number of words that starts with a consonant, the number of letters, the number of words that occur more than once, the number of words that occur only once, the number of nouns, the number of words that are not nouns, the number of male names, so on and so on. Even the number of words starting with each letter of the alphabet is divisible by 7. So no human can try to make it work like that. It must be divine inspiration from God. The number 7 is the symbol for perfection. It shows that only God, out of his perfection, could have inspired the word. There's also preservation of the original texts that have been found. A long list of those. I'm not going to go into that now. Another one is the influence of the Bible, where the Bible has been translated into more languages than any other book. It has been created or published in more greater volumes than any other book. It has touched millions of people. It has influenced many, many cultures around the world. It has produced the highest results in all walks of life. And many and millions of people's lives has been changed by its truth. The Bible speaks with authority, and it is not afraid to honestly portray biblical characters for what they really are. The Bible doesn't try to hide the imperfections in people's characters. So it tells the truth just as it is. What is important most of all is the application of the Bible. What are the effects of the Word of God? The first one is the spiritual effect of the Word of God. The book that you have in your hand is a piece of matter. It exists in the natural, but it brings life, and it comes alive by the aid of the Holy Spirit that illuminates the Word to us and that brings revelation to us. So there's a great spiritual effect of the Word of God. The Word of God also has physical and mental effects that it has on you. If you follow its directives, you can lead a very healthy life. If you read the Word and you allow the Holy Spirit to transform your mind, it has a great effect on having a sound mind. It brings victory. The Word of God brings victory over sin, over the enemy, over death. And the Word of God purifies. It brings revelation to things that before we did not know, and it also brings judgment. The Word of God is the standard, it is the canon, that standard that we need to measure our lives by, or how we live. And Jesus Christ came so that Scripture could be fulfilled. We saw earlier that Jesus is the truth, he's the personification of the truth. So therefore, just Jesus being, by him being on earth and him just living, he lived that truth, and thereby he fulfilled many Old Testament prophecies during his life. The word is to be studied, it is to be memorized, it is to be digested, it is to be believed on. It is to be relied on as the truth, meditated and confessed. If we confess the truth, it has the effect of the supernatural changing the natural. That is why we see lives change, that is why we see healings happening. And the important thing is for everything of life, every aspect of life, that you use the Bible as the foundation of the truth. That you don't start somewhere else and see how the Bible fits in, but that you actually start with the Bible and see how do the facts actually fit in with the truth of the Bible. The Bible gives the truth on every aspect of life, being the origins of life, of science, of morals, of ethics, eternal life. If you think of faith versus good works, if you think of things like reaping and sowing, stewardship, tithing, if you think of praise and worship, you think of marriage and relationships, you think of sin and death. What does the Bible say with regards to sin and death? What happens to you when you sin? With regards to law, politics, sociology, philosophy, history, economics. On every aspect of life, the Bible has got something to say. And that is, should be your departure point, the truth, the baseline from where you start to form your worldview. Let's read John 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So free from what? Free from lies, free from deceptions, free from confusion, free from fear. We said the Bible is the standard or the canon by which we measure our lives. And if you accept the truth, if you accept Jesus Christ and you come to salvation, then it has a massive effect of setting you free. It sets you free from sin and death and you obtain eternal life. So that is the greatest setting free aspect that the truth has, apart from all the other aspects that it sets you free from in your life. And John 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father but by me. Many New Agers will tell you, yeah, we all believe in the same God, essentially. We are all gods, and you can find gods inside the tree and this and that. Creation was, nature around us was created by God. But creation itself is not God and should not be worshipped. And Jesus says here, there's only one way to the Father, and that is through me. Important aspect with which I want to close off with is to the importance of using both the Word and the Spirit. It is important to know the Word. It is important to understand why you believe what you believe. But you cannot do it in isolation. You always need the Holy Spirit for His guidance and His wisdom. Let's read 1 John 5, verse 6 to 7. And it is the Spirit that bears witness. You see, the Spirit is the witness because the Spirit is truth. It also speaks here of the Spirit of truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So here it confirms to us that the Holy Spirit confirms that truth to us, and we should use that. We should not ignore the Holy Spirit. So the thing that the saying we like to say is to concur with the Word. Whatever you are investigating, does it agree with the Word? And then confer with the Spirit. Talk to God and see if the Holy Spirit confirms this message or confirms that specific thought in your heart that it is, in fact, the truth. I just want to refer to the image or the picture used by Rick Godwin in his book, Training for Reigning. It was part of the Bible school curriculum a few years ago. He used the picture of wood and of fire. You would probably have heard this before. But if you, he equates the Word to wood and the Spirit to fire. He says, if you only have the wood, then you can dry out. And if you only have the Spirit, you can blow up or burn out. But if you've got both the Word and the Spirit, you grow up. So it's to use the wood and the fire to build and to construct a bigger fire that grows. And it's through those two that you grow in your relationship with God. Okay. So what I want to get to today, what we also said earlier, is that we really trust God in our hearts to have a love for the truth. If you don't have a love for the truth, if you accept anything, then it can hamper your relationship with God. That is the one thing to trust God for. The other one is real hunger for His Word. Often we know a bit here and we know a bit there, but it's really important to get the complete picture, to understand His word, to understand where does this come from, where does that come from. And it's not to be intellectual or to be able to give the right answers, but it is to aid in your complete relationship with God, to see the way things, to see the way created things, He meant things to be. So that is what I want to end off with. I want to pray for us that God really reveals these things to us and change those things in our hearts. And afterwards, if you have any prayer requests, being it on these aspects for the love for the truth, hunger for the word, or if you earlier in this service, if you prayed for yourself for healing, but you still want us to pray for you, please come forward that we do so, that we trust God for that healing to manifest, for His supernatural truth to manifest here in the natural. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are the truth. Thank You that You are the way and the truth and the life and the only way to the Father, Lord. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You died for our sin on the cross, that You made provision for everything, Lord Jesus. And we just pray, my Lord, for a real hunger in our hearts, my Lord, to know You, my Lord, to know the Word, to study the Word, my Lord. And we just pray that we'll really have a love for the truth, my Lord, that we will not settle for anything less, my Lord, that we will not be conformed to this world, my Lord, but we will allow You to renew our minds, Lord Jesus, by reading of the Word, by studying of Your Word. And we thank You for that, Lord Jesus. I pray for Your blood and Your protection over us as we go from here. And we thank You for Your grace and for Your love. I pray for a greater revelation, my Lord, of You in our hearts. Our reason, our thought is so limited, my Lord. Our ways are so limited. But You are above all things, my Lord. You know all the answers. And we thank You for that, Lord Jesus. Amen. So enjoy the rest of your days. Please feel free to come forward if you want us to pray for you.